So we're going to have our Old Testament reading, and Rob's going to come and read it for us.
First reading today is from Hosea chapter 12, beginning at verse 2, and that is on page 758 of the Pew Bibles. There are lots of people giving advice to Israel these days, but this is from the prophet Hosea. The Lord's indictment of Israel and Judah. The Lord has an indictment against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he took his brother by the heel, and in his manhood, he strove with God. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favour. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord in his memorial name. So you, by the help of your God, return, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God. A merchant in whose hands are false balances, he loves to oppress. Ephraim has said, "Ah, but I am rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labours, they cannot find in me iniquity or sin. I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. I will again make you dwell in tents as in the days of the appointed feast. I spoke to the prophets. It was I who multiplied visions and through the prophets gave parables. If there is inequity in Gilead, they shall surely come to nothing. In Gilgal, they sacrifice bulls. Their altars also are like stone heaps on the furrows of the field. Jacob fled to the land of Aram. There Israel served for a wife. And for a wife he guarded sheep. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel up from Egypt, and by a prophet he was guarded. Ephraim has given bitter provocation, so his Lord will leave his blood guilt on him and will repay him for the disgraceful deeds." That's the end of the first lesson.
Thanks, Ken. And our reading from Revelation, David's going to bring it for us.
The reading today from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "The words of the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. What that you were either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, 'I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing,' not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.
Well, as you might be aware, we've been over the last, seems a long time, doesn't it? Going through these seven churches in Revelation, and we come to the last one today of the church in Laodicea. So as we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your word you encourage us, you feed us, but you also challenge us. Heavenly Father, help us as we open your word today to be focused on what you are saying to us, not looking for things that we just want to hear ourselves. So speak to us. Speak just a word for Jesus. We pray all this in his name. Amen. Well, this is the church in Laodicea. And we've noticed over the months of various churches and the various issues that they've had. And this one's a little bit challenging as well. But this one is also one of those key ones that you can really show your Bible knowledge. You know, when you go to those Bible trivia quizzes and you're scratching for answers, well, this one is one of those ones that you've got a head start. But also the church in Laodicea has a mention in all the dictionaries. Now, don't grab your phone out and try and get in front of me. But if you have a look in the dictionary, the Laodicean church gets a very blunt definition. But the trivia. You all know your scriptures, you know the letters that Paul wrote to all the churches. But did you know there's a missing letter? This is where your Bible trivia knowledge can come in. There's a missing letter. And it's the one to the church in Laodicea. And it's mentioned in Colossians right at the end, where it talks about asking the people in the church at Colossae to read the letter that was written to the church in Laodicea as they will read the letter that's written to them. So anyway, you've got a head start. You can say, oh yeah, I know that one, the church at Laodicea. No one knows where it is. It's just vanished. But the church at Colossae was told to read that letter and to swap the letters around. But this is the church that Christ is now writing to, writing with words of condemnation because of their attitude towards him. He has really got a problem with this church. And these are words of condemnation. He introduces himself, as he has done with all the other letters, in a very special way. Listen to verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Reminding he is the Alpha, the Omega. He was the first and he is the last. He is the one who will pronounce the final Amen. He was there at creation. He is the perfect one. The one who is unchangeable in all his promises and purposes. He is the one true God. He is the one who came, for a purpose. He is the one who witnesses the truth about his heavenly Father. He is the truth. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the ruler over all creation because he is the creator of all things. He is the one who holds all things together. He is the head over everything. So when he wants to bring judgment or condemnation, he speaks clearly and with full knowledge of everything that is going on. In Colossians again, Paul tells us clearly of the supremacy of Christ because he is God. God in the flesh, the one who died and who rose again, the one who is and who knows all things. He is speaking to this church in Laodicea with words that they really don't want to hear. And then the challenge becomes for us as the church today, the visible church, are these words that we don't want to hear either, because they're too close to our hearts. So what does he say? Let's have a look at it in verses 15 down to 18. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. What would that you were either cold or hot? So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counseled you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness not be seen, and the salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. This is his judgment on them. This is his judgment. He sees them exactly as they are. Now, as we look at this, remember I said about the dictionary? And the definition? Well, in the dictionary, in the vocabulary that is put before us there, we have the definition of a Laodicean. And that definition is lukewarm. Has anyone ever called you a Laodicean? Well, not me. It's not something, a phrase that we use around each other. And I hope they don't call you a Laodicean either, or me, because it describes a person who is just like this passage tells us, lukewarm in their attitude towards religious things, lukewarm in their attitude towards God and to his Son, our blessed Redeemer. If someone was to call us a Laodicean, it's a wake-up call, isn't it? Because what are we described as? Lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. We think we've got it all sorted. That's how Jesus describes them here. And they haven't seen what's going on. They're content with just going through the days, going through the motions. Here is the problem that this church in Laodicea needs to deal with. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. God has offered you things, offered this church, and he's offered us the same things. And yet, we say we're right. We don't need them. And that's what this church was doing. They'd grown comfortable in the lukewarm bath of religion at the expense of their passion for the things of God. That's what Jesus was focusing on with this little church in Laodicea. The danger that is for every church through every generation. We get in our comfort zone. That's where this church was. We get in our comfort zone and we don't want to move out of it. We just want to stay where we are. It's like you're at home, you finish the whole day, you get into your nice, comfortable chair, relax. Now, us guys, we know about this. I know I'm going to get into trouble, but I don't care. You get into your nice, comfortable chair, you sit down at the end of the day, oh, great, I can relax now. Next thing you hear a voice, can you help me with something? Oh. Comfort is gone. But that's where this church in Laodicea got that in the got in the comfortable chair. All cool, calm, relaxed. Yeah, we've got it all sorted. But this time God is saying, hey, wake up. Get out of your comfortable chair. Got work for you to do. He wants this church to get their eyes and their hearts focused back on Christ, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's promised them so much, and they've taken it all for granted. You say, I'm rich. Got all the things you need. Well, God says, you might be comfortable, but get out of the chair. I need you to do things for me. So they and we are in danger of being called lukewarm. But what does he say? You are neither hot, neither cold nor hot. Would it be that you were either cold or hot? But you are lukewarm. That seems a little bit strange, doesn't it? He wants us to be hot and cold at the same time. Doesn't make sense to me. You're either hot and you need the fan on, the air conditioning. You're either cold and you've got to get the thickest jumper you can find. But here God is saying through Jesus, no, I want you to be hot and cold. I do not want you stuck in the middle and being lukewarm and doing nothing. Think about being hot as the call of God to be on fire for our God. Jump over into to Timothy. I can find him here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verses 6 and 7. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit of not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. Fan the flame, the fire and the passion for God. Live lives that show your zeal, your compassion. Show the power of God within you. Your life showing the fruits of the Spirit. Showing you are stirred up because of what God is doing in you. And you want people to see it. You want people to see how you are on fire for God. You are hot. Those who are lukewarm, for example, will just, she's right. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. But here we were told to stir the fire
Nothing better, is it? You go on a, you get a fire going, and it's starting to die down and die down. Nothing more satisfying, is there, to get that fire raging again? And I don't mean tipping fuel on it. I mean just stirring it up. Stirring it up so you can see the flame start to grow. And you get so excited, you put more fuel on, more wood on the fire to keep the fire blazing. Fire, the excitement of worshipping God, the excitement of being part of his family, the excitement being hot so that others will see it in you, not lukewarm, but stirred up, showing the fruits of the Spirit. So we are told there in Revelation to be hot and cold. But I don't know, I thought it had to be one or the other. Makes sense. But no, he says, I want you to, you can be cold as well. Now I sort of see this as the opposite, but this is not what Christ is talking about. They think that being cold for Christ means to be just nothing. Want nothing to do with him. So what does he mean? I want you to think of it this way. Cold for Christ. Have you ever gone for a swim? And the weather's beautiful. Sun's beating down. Water looks inviting. Yes! And you jump in and you hit it and it's freezing. You know the feeling, don't you? Oh, what have I done? That's what God's talking about. That's what Christ wants from us. He wants us to be refreshing. He wants us to be this cold so that people who come into contact with us get the same impression, reaction, the same excitement that we've got. When you get into that cold water, when you jump out, you can't stop standing still. You've got to keep moving, haven't you? You're only trying to warm up. But just smashing everything. Come on, why is my arm not working? It's frozen. That's the reaction that he wants. You're being cold. You want to get people working, enjoying the same refreshment that you've got. Over in the little letter that God wrote to Philemon, or Philemon, however you're going to call him, I don't care. Goes on to say this: I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love and of the faith you had toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. That's the refreshing that he's talking about. People have heard about you, heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and they want to get to know you, and you can be that refreshing speaker or actions, whatever it is. How do we look at that one? A simple way. When you face a situation as a Christian, your response should be completely and utterly different from everybody else in the world. So you can be refreshing. You can bring out, why are you so different? Why are you like that? That's what it's all about. People, remember your faith. Remember how you front things. Whether it might be at a loss of a loved one, might be illness, it might be anything else, out of a job. You know, and you just, everyone goes, this is happening to me. But you confront it because you have one thing that no one else, or people who aren't Christians, what they don't have. You have hope. You have hope. Non-Christians don't. You can be a refreshment because of the way you live. Show how you are fronting these things, how you are rejoicing in all situations, because you have the Alpha and the Omega. You have Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Saviour. And look at the end of this passage. Here we are told the joy of what it means for those who stand firm, those who are not lukewarm, but are hot and cold. The promise, verse 21, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the promise. This is what God wants from every one of us in the visible church today. We are the church invisible. We are with all the saints. So where are you? Are you hot and cold? I hope so. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. Because you've made it in the dictionary. But more importantly, you've made it in the scriptures as well. Don't let anybody be able to say to us as God's children, you are lukewarm Laodiceans. We can be hot and cold. We can serve our wonderful Lord. We look forward because he has promised us so much. Lean upon him. Ask him to stir up the flame of passion in your life if you are feeling lukewarm. And remember, he's a creator God. He knows the temperature of the water you're about to jump into. So you can be refreshed, hot and cold, in the service of your Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we are confronted in this passage about being lukewarm Christians. We can get caught out, all of us, being lukewarm at times. But you call upon us to be hot and cold. Heavenly Father, show us how you want us to live for you. Show us, gracious God, how we can be active, working for you in the harvest field. As we look forward to being with you and your Son and all the saints there in that kingdom of glory. So encourage us, guide us, and protect us from the attacks of the evil one. Heavenly Father, we look forward to every day in your service. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.